Our second reading from God's holy word for this day comes to us out of the book of the prophet Isaiah. We are at that turn at chapter 40, where Isaiah, the earlier chapters, talk about all the things that the people have done wrong and has talked about what has occurred to them because of their wrongdoing. And then now, Cyrus of Persia has been promised as the savior for the people, a foreigner to save them, for he is going to release them and send them home from captivity. And so we have this wonderful turn. We already sang it in our opening hymn. But listen now to God's word that comes in the beginning of chapter 40 of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Here in the readings from God's holy word for this day, and to God's name be all glory and praise now and forever. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse our thoughts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. J. Barry Shepherd reminds us that for sheer beauty, both in content and in poetry, there are few words in the Bible that can equal these words from Isaiah. Read aloud in an English translation, they are magnificent. Hearing them sung in a tenor aria in Handel's Messiah, or that beautiful little recitative from the end verse by an alto, you can hear that today, actually. I'm going to the sing-along Messiah at First Federated at 2:30. You hear that sung in Handel's Messiah. They absolutely resonate within us. Recited in the original Hebrew, which I decided to spare you of today, they breathe a passion and tenderness that speaks directly from heart to listening heart. I really do think God's original language is Hebrew. It's a beautiful language. If ever human voice might bear the language of the divine, then Isaiah reaches that very pinnacle when he sings these hallowed words. And it is my hope, and also it is my belief, that right here in Isaiah, as in few other places, at least until Jesus comes again, we are able to look right into the very heart of God for us. A heart that is so filled with love, so filled with longing for our welfare, for all the welfare of God's children, with promises to us that no matter how dark the night, however grim the prospect, God's word is sure. God's providence, God's care for us is trustworthy. And God will indeed feed his flock like a shepherd with his lambs. We get to see in Isaiah right into the very heart of God. It's one of the ways God has left the porch light on for us for centuries now, in hopes that the last of God's stragglers will make their way home. Now, we remember from last week that Advent always begins, and we remember this from other years, that Advent always begins first rather harshly. It starts out with words of warning and judgment, of preparations, of charges to redeem the time, to repent, to turn around, literally, to turn around and start to walk a new way with God. And as we read that text last week from Isaiah, we saw pieces of that. But now we get to move into these words of comfort and hope, and the birth of hope that comes to us in the midst of our despair, in the midst of wilderness. Then you and I are to prepare the way, to make straight a highway for our God in the midst of our own wilderness. And we all have them. The sheer confusion sometimes of our overcrowded lives, the failures and futilities, the narrowness and even self-preoccupation, the deadly daily wasting of our time and talents. In the midst of all this, there is always a place for hope. There is always room for hope and the assurance of good tidings. We remember how Isaiah's audience, of course, starts out in despair. We spoke of it a little bit last week, and we just covered that because we remember that the people of Israel are taken off into exile and slavery in Babylon in 587 BC. It might be hard for us to comprehend how crushing that is, but remember when they come out of Egypt with Moses and make that covenant at Sinai, that God's people, the Hebrew people, pledge a troth one with the other. God says, I will be your God. And they say, we will be your people. And as Frederick Buechner reminds us, it has been a source of embarrassment to both of them ever since. We do fail in our lives, and yet, think of if we really thought of ourselves always as chosen people, what that must be like then, to be carried off into slavery. They've been there over 50 years, and their despair has kind of seeped into their very veins. But Isaiah doesn't lose hope. He doesn't lose hope while he's captive with them. Instead, he speaks into that situation, and he tells them that the God that saved them in the past, that brought them up out of the land of Egypt, is about to save them again. Get ready. Get ready. Make the way straight. Help is on the way for you. These are the words that John the Baptist then quotes as he goes down to the River Jordan some 600 years later and baptizes there for a baptism of repentance. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Get ready. Make the way straight. Help is on the way. All of this makes me wonder what our wilderness looks like to us. Might be rough neighborhoods where drugs and bodies are openly sold out on the street corners 24 hours a day, where there's more plywood than glass in the windows, where people squat in foreclosed properties until they're finally driven out. They steal gas by breaking the locks on meters and turn the water back on once the city trucks pull away. Or we might consider, we've certainly been exposed to this fall, the forces of nature and how they can create a new sort of wilderness when hurricanes and floods leave hundreds of people homeless, or earthquakes have people sleeping outdoors for days because they're afraid to be inside of buildings. Or I'm sure you've watched those fires in California. It's almost impossible to imagine the amount, the acres of devastation in that state at presence. Or our wilderness might be more particular to us. We might be worried about our job security or our own skills and capacities just to keep up. Wondering what employment's gonna look like for us in the long term, or what's gonna be required for us to keep up with this constant change that we experience in our economy. And then there's that wilderness that takes over our minds. Will probably come to all of us in one way or another when we start to lose the strands of being anchored to what it is that we have always known, or the physical suffering that comes when bodies wear out, these earthly tents that Paul reminds us we will vacate someday for a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Or what of the wilderness that parents live in when their children do not fit into what normal looks like, who need special help with training and structure and education, and whose school districts argue against giving that kind of assistance because then there's going to be less for the many if they focus on just one. Or consider those we know undergoing treatments of any kind, or families that live with mental illness or addictions. You know, wilderness does surround us, and it enters our lives all the time. We don't need to travel far to find it. I spend a lot of time out there in the wilderness myself as a pastor, just being with people, standing with them, accidents or sudden death, or a diagnosis comes, or they're in the middle of a family feud, or fighting ugliness, divorce, troubles. And at best, we can stand with each other shoulder to shoulder and pray together, declaring, this is what we always do, right? Declaring that the light shines in the darkness. We're increasing the light each week, and the darkness cannot overcome it. That's our own way of declaring that in our wildernesses we need to prepare the way of the Lord. We need to make straight in the desert a pathway, a highway for our God. Get ready, make straight. Help is on the way. And sometimes even in the wilderness, people might wonder if there's some secret reason that God is doing this to them. Now, personally, I always stand up on the side of God on this issue. I do not believe for one moment that God has some kind of morbid fascination with seeing what it is we might be able to endure. God is not an 8-year-old out pulling legs off of crickets in the yard to see if they can still hop around, or a blackjack dealer that gets up in the morning and deals out disaster and despair to different people depending on what day of the week is. God is not cruel. But God is certainly mysterious, and God can be very frustrating to deal with because of the silence that can come when we ask questions. We're never going to understand all the why of bad things happening to other people and to ourselves, but it is not something that God is doing to us. This is not today's sermon, but God does not ever give us crosses to bear. That is not how God works. But what we do know is that we should be like John the Baptist, crying out always in the wildernesses that we come across every day, that we are to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For we know already. So good to hear the story being told again with the children. We know already that the promise has been fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. We know the promise, Emmanuel, with us, God, in the very midst of our living. We're not promised our lives will be pretty. We're promised God with us. God never leaves us, offers us comfort, holds us close, speaks tenderly, just as he did to Jerusalem. To be Christian is, I think, to be aware of the pain and suffering that just is inherent in living and that comes to us from injustice and evil, but to hold on to that great nevertheless, that we're going to hold on to the truth that we already know. And I think I'm preaching to the converted today. I think we already know a great deal here about crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, making straight a highway for our God. For at the heart of who we say we are people who grow and nurture followers of Christ in a welcoming community. We demonstrate that all the time as we baptize Lucas. As we provide, we take the time in Advent to provide a service of hope and light for those whose grief needs a place where it's going to be honored and respected. Because we're in a season that tells us that we are to be happy. Ho, 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 just as we had at the beginning of my sermon. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. And spend money. That's the other thing. Next week, we're going to welcome a new member. Brian is joining us officially next week. We're going to do another baptism. Our children and youth are leading us in worship on Christmas Eve morning. We teach Sunday school. We have confirmation classes. We do all kinds of fellowship things with each other. We sign up to bring meals to people that need that little touch of care at that moment in their lives. And then yesterday, wow. I was so amazed by the hours of preparation and planning that goes into making the family Christmas shop. I'd heard about it, but yesterday I saw it with my own eyes. And you know what I found so amazing? So amazing is that everyone that was volunteering to work yesterday had words of welcome and joy just spilling out of their mouths, not only smiles, but the way that we thanked people for honoring us with their presence. We do know something here already about making straight the highway of our God, preparing for the coming again of our Lord, of speaking tenderly, of nurturing, guiding, and protecting. Of comfort. May it ever be so. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.